So the result of that journey is the book that I want to talk to you about today. And before I get into the deeper history of this movement and some of the main kind of protagonists in this history, I wanted to just set the scene a little bit for Wages for Housework and what that movement was about in the broadest terms. So the Wages for Housework campaign, was a campaign that started in the 1970s, a time, that we associate with this broader movement for women's liberation, what many call second wave feminism. This is a time when women, from all over the world were, getting together, assembling, and making demands, demanding an end to patriarchy, an end to oppression and inequality, and really trying to imagine new possibilities for women. Now, Wages for Housework really came up as part of this really hopeful moment, this ambitious moment for thinking about a different world. And at the same time, they also really disrupted the wider women's liberation of that movement by saying, yes, we want equal rights, but that really only scratches the surface of what women's oppression is really about. They said, when you live in a world where the vast majority of essential work that makes society function is work that is unpaid and is done by women, what good do equal rights do you if you're still, doing this double shift and being exploited? So they really tried to reframe this feminist movement by saying that rights are important, but they're not enough. The real roots of oppression and inequality are in the material differences that, at their heart are about all this unpaid invisible work. The work of caring for children, caring for the sick and the elderly, maintaining homes, cooking, cleaning, all this work without which none of the other parts of the economy could function. So that's what Wages for Housework tried to do. And they were very controversial at the time, as you can imagine, right? This is a moment in the 1970s when so many women are trying to say, we don't want to be housewives anymore. We want to totally get rid of this idea that women should be associated with housework. And now here comes this movement that's trying to get us to associate even more with housework by demanding payment for it. So it really made a big stir in the movement at that time. But I think it's really important to remember that this is a group that, was not aiming to make women into paid housewives. By seeking wages for housework, they were after a lot more than a paycheck. They were trying to fundamentally change how the economy works. They're trying to reveal that what we think of as a system of free labor, where people go and they sell their labor in a marketplace, is actually only a part of the economy. The real economy happens with all this work that is coerced and basically done for free by women. So by demanding payment for that, they were not seeking just to be paid and to get a paycheck, but they were seeking to undermine the entire system and to imagine a new kind of way we might organize our society and our economy. They were calling for a kind of revolution. So in the course of researching this book, I came to focus my energies on five women in particular who I think are really extraordinary in their ambition, their creativity, and the unique ideas that each one brought to this insight they had about the value of housework in a capitalist economy and the potential of organizing a movement around it. So the first woman I focus on in my book is pictured here. This is Selma James. So Selma James was born in 1930 in Brooklyn to a radical Jewish politically active family. Her father was an organizer with the Teamsters Union. Her mother was really active in organizing tenants to protest, unfair evictions and rent rises, and organizing women, mothers to demand their welfare payments for their children. As a teenager, she joined the youth branch of the Socialist Workers' Party, where she eventually met a man called C.L.R. James, the great Trinidadian Marxist revolutionary, who was set on building a working class movement from the grassroots that tried to really recognize, the inherent kind of creativity and abilities of working class people around the world. And so Selma James, really found this to be a powerful form of politics. So, she was a brilliant student. She was accepted with, free tuition to Brooklyn College, but she decided she didn't want to be a student. She wanted to be a revolutionary. So she moved to Los Angeles, started working in a factory, and as a young single mother, really devoted her time to talking to women, about their lives.